translation. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress. Especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. Hearing from spiritual authorities is the beginning of spiritual life. It's the beginning of... Yeah, it's a bit difficult to hear with various disturbances. I wonder if the kids could maybe go to the room there, opposite. It would require someone, one adult, to supervise them. I don't know if it's possible for them to sit quietly, but it would help that there would be less disturbance. Yeah, so hearing from spiritual authorities is the beginning of serious spiritual life. What is the beginning, actually? Sorry. What is the beginning? Well, you could say that even in the non-human form of life, even if a dog means a jiva who's presently in the body of a dog gets some Krishna prasadam, you could say, well, that's the beginning of his spiritual life. So any contact with Krishna consciousness, that is all beneficial. But when someone is prepared to hear seriously and inquire seriously about the nature of spiritual reality, Sanatana Goswami said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ke ami kene amai jare tapatrai. Who am I and why am I suffering the threefold miseries in this world? So when one comes to that platform of inquiring in that way and is ready to hear from spiritual authorities, then his spiritual life really begins. Then he can start to be free from misconceptions, understand the nature of reality and make rapid progress. So Srila Prabhupada begins his purport by saying this verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there's practically no education in spiritual matters. Now, there is a lot of education. If we just truncated this sentence, people wouldn't understand it at all. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there's practically no education. If we stop the sentence there, people say, what do you mean no education? There's so much education. So much education on so many different topics. But Srila Prabhupada says there's practically no education in spiritual matters. There are many people who are talking about many things, and with the advent of the internet, everyone has become a philosopher, a propagandist, or everyone has the scope to. And my opinion is, the opinion of anyone is open to whoever wants to take it. So many people are anxious to speak, especially about spiritual subject matters. There are many people who purport to be teachers, but if we are to learn, we have to hear. It's not a difficult thing to understand. Hearing is essential. Unfortunately, in spiritual subject matters, people think that, well, whatever you feel, many people think that, well, whatever you feel, you say whatever you like, but actually, it, as in any subject matter, spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization requires some training, some education. Those who don't know, they should not speak. There's a Zen Buddhist saying that those who know do not speak, and those who speak do not know. But actually, those who know should speak for the benefit of others. And those who don't know, for the benefit of others, they shouldn't speak and try and tell them if they don't know themselves. First one should learn, and then one should become a teacher. But again, the problem is who will hear, because everyone's waving their flag and saying what they think. And people are so besozzled with sense gratification, it's very difficult for them to hear. We find it's very difficult for many people just to sit down and listen to topics which are of immense importance to them. In this verse, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaks about how by hearing one can transcend the path of birth and death. This is a very serious business. We should be very eager to know. But just like if we're informed that there are terrorists are expected to be active in the area and they might burst into your house at any time and kill everyone, the police warn you of this danger, then there's a meeting in the village to, what should you do? What should we do if a gang of thieves or terrorists, armed robbers come? There's a very real risk. What should we do? Everyone would be very concerned and attentive. But in illusion, the very fact that we are all on the path toward death and we don't know what happens after that, and we don't even think about it. And if we talk about it, people, they're not interested. What's the football game? What's some soap opera? They may be interested. What someone, the local village gossip, they may be interested. But the fact that we all have to die and that we can transcend birth and death, this overwhelmingly important fact, most people then they're not concerned to hear because there's so much concern with the present, especially in the modern age, the TV, internet, so many different kinds of entertainment, diversions, intoxications, plus the fact that all of these combined with the fact that we've been educated in an educational system where the educators themselves don't know the goal of life, don't even have any clue that there is any goal of life, anything more than getting educated, getting a job and earning some money. scientists telling us, we hear so many things from the scientists which we're supposed to believe, and so-called religionists, and in this way, the people are going on talking, but they have nothing of any substance or real value to communicate to us. That's why people go to school for a minimum 10 years, and if they learn anything, they forget it. In fact, when I was at school, I was told that the moment, one of the teachers said, the moment you finish your final exam, you can just forget everything because it's of no practical value whatsoever. The teachers themselves said, and actually it's a fact. So there is education, but the real education, what is the purpose of life? Who are we actually? Why are we subject to birth and death? How can we get free from that? These topics which we should hear, there's no one to teach, and we're not inclined to hear. So it's a very dangerous situation. Even if people become interested in spiritual life, generally they go to some cheaters, or they think you can just, anyone can have any opinion. But here we have Bhagavad Gita, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, is authorized spiritual knowledge. This Bhagavad Gita, sometimes it's called the Bible of Hinduism, which is a very misleading term, because what exactly is Hinduism? It's very difficult to define, and actually nowhere in Bhagavad Gita or anywhere in Shastra is the term Hindu there. It's a relatively modern term. And also to say the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita is very different from the Bible. And as one reason, important reason, is that the Bible, those who profess to be votaries of the Bible, they say, well, you just have to believe it. Whatever, you just believe it. But Krishna doesn't say that in Bhagavad Gita. This is a book of knowledge. It's something that is taught to be understood. Of course, one has to have some basic faith to understand it. And that's true in every subject matter. If you go to study computer science in a college, and as soon as the lecturer starts speaking, say, well, I don't believe that. And then you can't learn anything. You have to have some at least initial faith that there's something which you have to learn here. But it is a book of knowledge. And Arjuna, he asked questions, and the dialectic process of question or even challenging the what's been stated and then trying to understand in this way, this is encouraged. It's not, so the Bhagavad Gita is not really a Bible in the sense that it's just something that you have to believe without any intelligence there. And I mean that was a question I had even as a child raised in a Christian culture. Well, you say to believe this, and someone else says to believe something else. How am I to know what's what? Some people tell me that if you believe in the Pope, you go to hell, and some people say if you don't believe in the Pope, you go to hell. And, you know, what do I do? Flip a coin? And I don't want to go to hell, but there's no intelligent way to understand what's what. But Bhagavad Gita isn't like that. Bhagavad Gita gives us spiritual knowledge. So it is intelligent to want to get free from birth and death and to hear from persons who are trained in the process of getting free from birth and death. Just like you wouldn't want to learn computer science from someone who doesn't know anything about it, and nor would such a person have the gall to attempt to teach it. Or if he did attempt to teach it, he would be pulled up by the authorities, that you can't give a course in computer science if you don't know anything about it. And then even if he started to teach and people came to him, well, they'd all go away very soon, and they understood he doesn't know anything and he can't teach you. Unfortunately, in Yeah, so in spiritual life, one should approach, as in any subject, one should approach people who have studied, who've been taught, who practice it themselves, who are experienced in it. And then if we start to follow them, then we get a good result from doing so. However, in spiritual life, what's happened is that there's been such mispropaganda about spiritual life that mostly people have very wrong conceptions about what it is at all. You may say, well, how is that possible? How can everyone be fooled? Well, it is possible. Just to give an example, there was a time when people thought that if you sailed far enough west of Ireland, that you'd fall off the edge. People believed it. Seemed to make sense, right? I mean, you see the sea's flat, and you can't see the end of it, but there should be an end somewhere. So, you know, you go sailing, 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 and then people believed it. Everyone believed it, and everyone thought it was true. And what to speak of that? There are so many times we've heard the world is coming to an end. It's come to the end in December 2012. That's the next time it's coming to an end. It's always just coming to an end. Last year, I think it was last year in May, it was all over the internet. Some pastor in America said Jesus is coming and gave the date. And the date came, and as usual, people got up in the morning and yawned. Those had never even heard of this. And the next morning came, and I've been hearing this all my life. Jesus is coming in this year, next year, or the end of the world. And many people believe it without any grounds. They say, well, we've calculated from the Bible and all this. And they go on like this. And they get people worked up, and people sell off all their properties because they think to propagate, be saved. And then the time comes and goes, and neither are they saved, nor do they have a house to live in. So human foolishness can be immense. As the great sage Einstein said, both the universe and human stupidity are unlimited, but I'm not sure about the universe. So, he's a clever guy, no doubt. Not clever enough to ask the right questions, such as how to get free from birth and death, but clever in his own sphere. So he was also afflicted by the same stupidity, which he also noted, because he was asking the wrong questions. He was asking about the nature of the universe, but the physical nature of the universe, but the very fact that this universe is full of suffering and birth and death, and how to get free from that, that wasn't his subject of inquiry. So, my dear friends, all of you present here, you are all more intelligent than Einstein. And you may not, if they do IQ tests, we'd all probably get about a quarter or less than Einstein. Of course, you're dead now, so you couldn't do it for him. But you are taking interest in a subject which is of far more importance than trying to work out whether E equals MC squared or not, or whatever. This is it's intelligence to inquire into that which is most relevant. Again, the same answer. If there's a gang of thieves coming to attack your village, and you know, you should get prepared and what to do. It's an emergency. It's an urgent situation. But if you think that, well, there's a nice rainbow, I want to look at the rainbow, you're an idiot. There's an urgent, compelling situation which you have to address immediately. So similarly, if we're thinking, well, this world is nice and we have so many things to do, and let's try and work out where does the rainbow come from? There's a pot of gold at the end of it, if you ever find it. But you'll never find it, because It's a refraction of light. I learned that at school. Hey, I did remember something. Not exactly sure what a refraction of light is because I didn't study well enough. But anyway, you know, they say the light gets broken up and this and that. So that's all very nice. But as a matter of fact, even if you did find a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, you'd still have to die. And what happens after that? That is the really intelligent question to ask. And the very fact that you are sitting here and listening about this means that you are more intelligent than Einstein in the most important sense. Unfortunately, in spiritual life especially, in other subjects also, like in so-called science, there's a lot of mispropaganda put out. We recite Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatyadesha tarne. We pray to him as the person who delivers the Western countries from impersonalistic ideas. Which might seem strange if you say Mayavadi, Shunyavadi, these are technical terms which pertain to various specific philosophical schools that have been prominent in India and in places where, from India, Buddhism has traveled. So you may say, well, what's that got to do with the Western world? They don't. Who knows the term Mayavadi and Shunyavadi in the Western world, and therefore how is Srila Prabhupada delivering them from it? But there is, in the Western world also, the pseudo-spirituality is quite prominent. Pseudo-spirituality, similar to the Mayavada or the impersonalism, which is prominent in India. Of course, when we say Mayavada or Shunyavada, these are they refer to certain genres of complex philosophy. They're complex. They have to be complex because their conclusions are nonsense. That everything is one, or that there is nothing. The conclusion of Shunyavada is difficult to say because they don't really have a conclusion. They have philosophy, but there's no real conclusion. There's no real conclusion. But anyway, ultimately, it doesn't make sense. But if you talk lots of complex philosophy and people get lost, and then they think, well, that's very intelligent. And then they come to think that, well, everything is one. I am you and you are me and we are all together and all this kind of thing. Which doesn't really mean anything, but it sounds good. Right? Sitting on a cornflake and all this kind of thing. It sounds, wow, that's really, really profound, you know. I am you, you are me. You got me convinced. Okay, give me your money because you are me, and so I'll take your money. And it's a con game. Or someone, you invite him to lunch, and he comes over, and then you sit down and eat, and you don't give him anything. And you say, well, you know, you invited me to lunch too. Yeah, I invited you to lunch. I'm having lunch, so I invited you, and you are me, and I am you. So. I'm eating and you're the same as me, so you don't need to eat also. You can think up so many absurdities. The whole thing's absurd, but this neo-Mayavada or impersonalism, New Age it's called, in which there's no specific, or there may be different organizations, but it's the whole idea of being spiritual but not religious means you just kind of feel spiritual, and everyone just mutually agree to that. Well, Yeah, everyone's God. You're God? Yeah, okay. Well, I'm God too. Yeah, we're all God. Yeah, I feel my godness. No meaning to it. Referring to 1966, Srila Prabhupada being in New York City at that time, Hayagriva Das, one of the first disciples of Srila Prabhupada, wrote about the some of the misconceptions which were prominent among the hippies and beatniks and whatever, whatnots, who were hanging around the Lower East Side of New York City. He wrote that another popular concept rekindled by psychedelics is the belief that man is already God but simply hasn't realized it. Another popular concept rekindled by psychedelics. That means drugs which induce psychedelic experiences, or it can mean also person who used such substances. So man is, you see, we're God, but we didn't realize it. But now go forward 46 years and now we realized it. We are God. We're all God. Everyone in this New Age or Neo-Mayavad without any real philosophy, this idea that, well, everyone is absolute and whatever your opinion is, what you believe is true for you, which according to any philosophy or logic, that which is absolute or that which is true, it can't be true for what the reality is not subject to the opinions or the desires of any individual. That's why when Srila Prabhupada, whenever he was asked, do you believe, or whatever, and then whatever, do you believe in this, that, or the other, Srila Prabhupada would reply, it's not a question of belief. This there's in the Science of Self-Realization, you'll see there's one journalist interviewing Srila Prabhupada, I think that's Sandy Davis is the name, and she asked Srila Prabhupada, could you tell us about Krishna consciousness, about what you believe? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it is not a question of belief. Krishna consciousness is a science. So this idea that just, well, whatever you believe, that's true, just for you, as if the individual is the creator of reality, or that reality depends on the individual. But as we learn in this verse, mrityum, you may think I am God. One may think that my reality, I am making it, but we are all subject to death. We are controlled. We may think, just like someone may sit on the edge of a mountain and meditate in the pre-dawn hours, sun come up, and the sun comes up, and he thinks, you see, I made the sunrise. It's just farcical, or it may be cloudy that day, and all he gets is he gets rain on his head for all his efforts to make the sunrise. But people, people who indulge in this, they think this is wonderful, spiritual, you see. And they talk in things like feeling oneself to be attuned to the cosmic rays. It doesn't mean anything, but to them it sounds spiritual. And other people think, oh, it's very profound. But there's nothing profound about it. It's just, it's stupid. It's like one kid, is a bunch of kids playing, and one imagine, you see, I'm a soldier, and you're another soldier, and they pretend, and they, I'm the king, and I'm another king, but they're not kings; they're just children playing. And the farcical thing is, when they grow up, they think they're God, and But they're just like children playing. They're just like the children in their play, they imagine themselves to be a king, and they, in their play, they may be very convinced. But it's just children's play. So someone may imagine that I am God, but it's just like children playing. And it's actually some like, it's like a psychological defect. I mean, if you see children playing, I am the king, it's okay, it's kids. But when someone grows up and they say, I am God, probably all of us who have been preaching Krishna consciousness, distributing books, we've come across plenty of people who say, I am God. And they really believe it. But for all their belief, you know, they may be convinced, but they're not. It's a madness. I mean, if I went around telling everyone I'm David Cameron or Barack Obama, and you really believed it, you'd probably get locked up at some point. Well, I don't know if they lock you up nowadays. They just give you some drugs. You know, if you wanted to behave like that and tell everyone, and you know, you have to sign some form, and you sign it David Cameron. And something seriously wrong with this person if you think that you're the prime minister, but you're not. So what to speak? Well, I'm God. Is it simply foolishness or is it insanity? But it's not uncommon. Again, as those who are distributing books or trying to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world, all these people who feel spiritual, just by feeling I'm God, they think they're God. So, what to do? Don't listen to such people. I mean, even if you're going to be a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer, or I mean, even to get a job serving chips in McDonald's, you have to take some kind of training, right? Something. But to be God, you just have to imagine it. And what? To be a guru, you just become expert in talking waffle, spiritual sounding waffle, and someone will believe it, but actually it should be regulated by the state, just like you can't become a doctor without getting proper training, because people's lives depend on that. To become a lawyer, you have to be trained, because there is so much you have to know, otherwise you can't work. The legal system cannot work unless there are properly trained lawyers who can present the merits of a case that is required. So, for spiritual life also, we should know that we have to approach, we have to hear and be trained and learn from people who themselves have been trained by experts and who are certified by experts as having a level of proficiency. That's like, even if you're a lawyer, you're trained in law or medicine, still you have to take some on-the-job training, internship in medicine, and then only you're allowed to practice. So similarly in spiritual life, if we say that, well, someone's fate is in the hand, the lawyer, the judge, they have to understand the law very clearly, otherwise they may unfairly punish someone, or they may let someone free who's a menace to society. So lawyers have a very responsible position. Doctors are very responsible in dealing with people's lives and their health. And what to speak of spiritual life, where it's more important even than a lawyer or a doctor who are dealing with a present temporal situation, but those who are spiritual guides, they are taking responsibility for guiding us so that we can get free from birth and death. Or otherwise, if they're not competent, then in this most the central mission, or practically the only real purpose of human life, is to get free from birth and death, to understand who we are, the answer is very simple. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. But to understand that in all its depth requires, and to be fixed in that understanding requires much training. So of course, in New Age, there are also so-called gurus, but they're self-made quacks. They're not spiritual masters. They call them guides or something like this. So Srila Prabhupada, he, among his many great gifts, was that he gave us Bhagavad Gita as it is. He gave us clear spiritual knowledge. He worked hard, literally day and night, to commit this knowledge into the written form so that we may continue to benefit from it. He spoke on and on the spiritual philosophy of Bhagavad Gita informally, like this in classes, informally, sometimes joking, but mostly very gravely, presenting authorized spiritual knowledge. It's not just all something vague. There's this New Age idea, everything is very vague and nothing is definable, and you just say words like beautiful and lovely and wonderful, and you just say that over and over again, and then that's spiritual. But Srila Prabhupada, following Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, gave clear spiritual knowledge. What is the nature of matter? What is the nature of spirit? What is the nature of the infinitesimal spirit, of which we all are? And what is the nature of the infinitely powerful spirit, who is Krishna? Whereas in Mayavad or New Age, they take the individual to be God, which is a gross miscalculation. So clear knowledge from an authorized source, nothing fuzzy or vague. The Mayavadis, they talk about removing the ego, but they actually inflate it to the ultimate degree by thinking themselves to be God. So Srila Prabhupada, this is great, among his great gifts, taking spiritual life seriously. If we're going to practice spiritual life, and actually traditionally real Mayavadis in India, or real Buddhists or whatever, they had practice, serious spiritual practice. But in the modern age, it's just you do what you like and you just feel spiritual. But Srila Prabhupada taught us that this is a serious matter. We have to seriously endeavor to understand. We have to seriously practice. We can't be a sense enjoyer and be spiritual advanced. That's not possible. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam tayapa hrita chetasam vivasayatmaka buddhi samadho navidhiyate. Samadhi, or the state of spiritual absorption, cannot be attained by people who are attached to enjoying this material world and the opulence. It doesn't happen. It cannot happen. So understand the spiritual facts. Take spiritual life seriously. It's not some kind of mystical children's game. Birth and death is a very repeated birth and death is a very it's a very serious situation that we're in. We have to take it very seriously. Simply being nice and talking about don't hurt others' feelings and be nice to others. This is all very well and good, but the fact is that we are all suffering from repeated birth and death. So even if to awaken people to the precariousness of their situation, we may not be very nice. But if it's required, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as Srila Prabhupada often repeated, we may state the foolishness of these rascals who are misleading others and who are not taking spiritual life seriously. Wake up! If we're simply nice and smile, that may not be enough to wake people up to the fact that we are suffering in this material world. Or another term they like is consciousness raising. And this kind of thing, like don't be a vegetarian and think of others. Well, that's all well and good, but without Krishna consciousness, without recognizing the proprietor of everything, without recognizing Krishna, who we all have to surrender to, we can raise the consciousness and people become nice in their dealings and they don't kill animals and they're ecologically, aware. They don't throw their garbage and they try to avoid plastics and all this kind of thing. But you can raise the consciousness, but without surrendering to Krishna or understanding Krishna, then our consciousness remains within the material sphere. We can say a better materialist. But what is a better materialist? It's a long, long way from the perfection of life. This universe is within a sphere that is covered by successively larger layers of matter. So we may raise our consciousness a little bit, but we've got a long, long way to go to Vaikuntha, the land of, or the place of surrender to Krishna. Genuine spiritual consciousness means to be aware of who we are as eternal servants of Krishna and surrender to Him. And even if we are as green can be, without Krishna, we're going to remain in this material world. Even those Mayavadis who, by severe spiritual practice, they do go beyond the material world. If they don't surrender to Krishna, they're going on beyond the material world is only superficial, and they fall down again. That's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yenye Ravindaksha. Vimuktamaninas twayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhyaha aruhya kritshrena parang padang datam patantyadho nadrita yushmanangra. Persons who think that they are liberated because they've made much effort to do so and with much difficulty over many lifetimes, they raise themselves, their consciousness beyond this material world, but because they neglect to surrender to Krishna, they're not properly placed, they're just floating, and they fall down again into this material situation. So all this consciousness raising, spirituality, being spiritual but not religious, these are all excuses for avoiding Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, again based on Shastra, those who are not Krishna conscious, even though they might appear to be good in various ways, they're not actually very good. Because the very fact that they are avoiding Krishna is the greatest fault in itself. So we should hear this transcendental science. Not just to think that we are spiritual or have some spiritual process that avoids Krishna. There is an authorized spiritual science. The basics of that are described in Bhagavad Gita. When we say the basics, we should understand this is Raja Vidya, the highest knowledge. So the basics of the highest knowledge, it's very high. Just like the basics of nuclear physics require considerable education even to enter into the basics of nuclear physics or neuroscience. The basics of neuroscience require considerable education to even enter into. So when we say Bhagavad Gita is the basic knowledge, basic spiritual knowledge, that doesn't mean that it's just something on a very low level. It's on a higher level than anything any materialist can even imagine, or even these so-called spiritualists who are just waffling and blabbering and they don't really have anything of any substance to offer. So, if we are actually interested in spiritual life, which we should be, then we should regularly hear and learn from authorities, those who are teaching according to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the authorized treatises of spiritual knowledge, and who are practicing that, and who can guide us. Otherwise, we have to remain within the sphere of repeated birth and death. So Krishna is here in this verse speaking about persons who are not conversant in spiritual knowledge, but who become, who get situated on the path of spiritual realization by assiduously hearing from persons who are situated in Krishna consciousness. So this temple is here. Worship of the deities, Radha Govinda, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, that is going on. Service in various ways to the deities is going on. Kirtan is going on, but the one major function is that people can come here and hear. So please come and hear regularly from those who can benefit you by what they have to say. Just as Krishna spoke to Arjuna to benefit him, give him clear spiritual knowledge. So in the same way, here in this Krishna conscious movement, it is authorized, it is genuine, because it gives genuine, authorized spiritual knowledge. It is not simply some speculation or some vague babbling of people who themselves are ignorant and who simply want to pose as learned. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any question about this? Yes, please. Yeah, so spiritual life begins with initiation. Yeah, I also said spiritual life might begin as a dog, in the form of a dog taking prasadam. So where you say the beginning, well, there could be various beginnings, but I said that the real seriousness begins with hearing. So diksha means divyam jnanam yato dadyat purva papasya sangshayam. To attain spiritual knowledge, divyam jnanam, but diksha is the process by which spiritual knowledge is given, and one's sins, previously committed sins, are destroyed. So the essential part of the diksha is not the ceremony, it's the hearing. The ceremony is also important, but hearing, that is the beginning of initiation.
Just to explain that, there is sometimes propaganda among certain devotees that you cannot make any spiritual advancement without initiation.
You cannot make spiritual advance without initiation. Yeah. Devotees who have served for many years, over decades, they're not initiated. The essence of initiation is the willingness to hear and to commit. The ceremony is a formal commitment. And Srila Prabhupada also writes that those who are reluctant to be initiated, they cannot make any proper progress. So, the essence of diksha is commitment. But it is expected that one formally does so also, that one is, it just is not just something vaguely committed or just committed to an idea or a principle, but it is expected that one formally does so also. So that is also required. Simply to sit in a ceremony without committing oneself is meaningless. Better than that is to serve seriously, but that should be, I'm missing my words again, just like the marriage is when the husband and wife consummated, yeah. So the process of service is consummated by the formal initiation, because it's not just me and Krishna. Krishna doesn't accept that. We have to commit ourselves to specific devotee also. It's very, very clear from the Vaishnav teachings and the tradition. Now, I know that there have been many problems in the execution of this, but that is the system. Doesn't mean that you have to rush into it. Better not to rush into it. Well, or it may be taken the other way. Better I rush into it, because you never know, I might die tomorrow. So that's also a consideration. But one should see, just like if you want to go to medical college, you may select which is the best one, where I can learn best. So one should look and see, not just take any medical college or any quack that comes and says, well, I can teach you. I'll give you a medical degree in 3 weeks. I'll teach you everything. You can get everything. You should know this person's a cheater. So if someone comes and says, I'll give you Krishna Prem, and you don't have to follow anything. You just take initiation from me. You should know. You should just turn around and run as fast as you can from people who promise everything without any commitment. Yeah, please. Question? Yeah.
Prabhupada says Harinam, chanting the Holy Maha Mantra, only has effect if it's heard from the lips of the pure devotee.
Srila Prabhupada says that chanting the Holy Name only has effect if it is heard from the lips of a pure devotee. That, of course, is as everything Srila Prabhupada said. I mean, there are some things like his pronouncements on historical affairs, but he spoke from Shastra, so that's derived from this Avaishnava Mokod Girnam Putam Harikatamritam Shravanam Naiva Karatavya Sarpo Chishta Yatapayam, that one should not hear the nectar of Harikata from people who are not Vaishnavas. It'll have a poisonous effect, just like milk touched like by the lips of a snake. Yeah, so?
So when we talk about Harinam, picture initiation, Harinam initiation. We've seen historically that there have been
many problems, yeah.
So how does one reconcile that?
How does one reconcile that? Well, Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked about, in one letter, he wrote that his disciples chanting Harinam has this. He was asked this very question, that how do people get benefit if they don't directly hear from Prabhupada? And Prabhupada wrote that because you are following me, then people get the effect. And we saw that people became devotees. He said that about George Harrison also, who wasn't formally initiated by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that would have effect because he's taking the name from me. So, Srila Prabhupada also wrote about the role of a guru, that those who strictly follow, then they can also be gurus. So the current comes through. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. Well, Srila Prabhupada wrote about being a strict follower. If one is a strict... Just like when Srila Prabhupada was personally present here, just like myself, I was initiated by Srila Prabhupada, but I was trained and guided, and I learned everything on a practical level from his disciples. I mean, I did sit in some lectures with Srila Prabhupada, and I read his books, had very few words that I personally exchanged with him. But the potency came through. I hope. At least something's there. So, later it was seen that many, talking about my own case, many of those who guided me, they're not now strictly following in the way that they were at the time, but they, as long as they were, the potency was there. Anything else? So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Please read Srila Prabhupada's books. Highly recommended. Right? You've given out many thousands of Srila Prabhupada's books. The best welfare worker in the whole of Ireland is sitting right here. An ocean of love of Krishna, Das. So, we're very fortunate to have the association of such devotees. I mean, actually, it's just like, you see, I come here, I'm a sannyasi, and even in Ireland, there's a little respect given to sannyasis because they're supposed to be advanced and all this, but you'll probably want to get out of the room now, but you know, you have, you know, talk about the Irish saints, but here's a devotee who for years has quietly been going on, no fanfare, traveling around, distributing books, is, you know, extremely humble. Take advantage of this association, you know, and serve. And obviously, by his life, has so much realization, so he can take spiritual, it's very fit to give spiritual guidance. I mean, I see Prabhupada's potency in so many devotees. Here's one. So who can deny that it's being passed on? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Govinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.